But I was I wanted people to stay clean. It's like today, I want you, I need for you to stay clean. I love this fellowship. I wish I could take what I've gotten from this fellowship and give it to you, but you know what? That wouldn't work, because you need to go through that pain. You need to find out what it feels like to walk up to somebody and say, I'm hurt and I feel like I'm going to die. I've never felt so much. Or the joy gets so high, you just feel like, oh God, I can't take this. But that's the reward. Thank God you can feel. And nobody gave this to me anywhere in my life. No drug gave this to me anywhere in my life. Until I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And let me tell you something. The things that have happened to me in Narcotics Anonymous have given me the highest highs in my life. The honors that have been given to me in this fellowship by being asked to speak like here this morning are the highest of my life. This dope fiend that came off of the streets of New York, who didn't take a bath, who didn't have any money, who didn't know how to live, who only knew how to take, can today give. And that's what I attempt to do. I want you to be able to feel like I do about this fellowship, because you know what? I love this fellowship. And if you've been around me, you know that when I get to go and talking about NA, I hope you can feel what I feel. Because it's not phony. It's not made up. It's what you gave me. I'm still a baby. I'm still learning every day. I know how to stay clean. It's a matter of doing it a day at a time. A lot of people, you know, you walk into a room and like maybe people got 2-3 years, you know. And you go, where are all these people? Where are the people that were here? I walk into a meeting in Florida, you know. They've had an ache for a long time. I said, where are the people? You know, we have a tendency to get real sick when we get a couple of years. We forget where we came from. And then we make stupid statements and do bizarre things like saying, I have to go to the other fellowship because there's no serenity and recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. Well, I got news for you. 430-some years we have sitting in this room spells a lot of recovery for me. I don't go to any other A. It's like I don't eat any knees food, you know, Chinese, Japanese, any of that shit. I don't need it. Because everything I need is here. I don't need to go someplace that I have to be careful what I say, or if I talk about getting off, they have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. I don't need to have to explain my addiction. I'm not there to educate. I'm there to learn. I come to the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, some sick dope being walked in. I know about that. I don't have to be careful what I say either. You know, I walked into a meeting one time and they said, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't. I said, what? I said, I can say any goddamn thing I want to say. I said, because I'm here for me. I'm here to learn how to stay clean. Yes, today I try not to cuss as much as I used to. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. If you can't handle it, call your sponsor. I don't know. But, you know, I try. Today I can talk about God. I can talk about my higher power. It's okay. I can talk about the spirituality that I've gained through this fellowship. And that spirituality for me is to be able to learn how to share and to care the NA way. Because that is spirituality. There's not a spiritual part to this program. It is a spiritual program. And for me, the spirituality issue. See, I'm a firm believer that my higher power talks through people. He put all the people in my life that showed me that visible proof that it worked. And that's how it works. I couldn't read a book when I came in here. We didn't even have a book. But I couldn't read a book. I couldn't write. But I could talk to you. That took some work, too. Because all I knew how to talk about was getting high. But you taught me. Nothing I say is original. Everything I say has been given to me by somebody in this fellowship. Being of service in this fellowship is one of the greatest honors that I've ever had. Being able to be there when all of the insanity and all of the joy has happened. Because there's been a lot. There's been a lot happen. Being able to be involved in every level of service is an honor. You know, I think sometimes, and I hear it in our own area, you know, people don't want to do service work anymore because we've got a bad rep. What happened to the days that, man, I couldn't wait to get to 6 months so that I could do something. I couldn't wait to get to a year so that I could be a chairperson. I couldn't wait to get 5 years so maybe I'd have a shot at an RSR. What happened to that? Service is such a way of being able to give back your what was given to you. And we think, what was given to me? You know, I'm clean, you know, I got a little apartment now. Narcotics Anonymous gives you your life because this disease kills you. Minor thing, your life. I would love, my dream is to see it be a little bit like it used to be when people wanted to do service. When you know, it was like, that was it. Give back what was given to you. Help that newcomer. How many times do you go into a meeting, somebody goes and picks up a white kid, do you go up and talk to them? Think about it. I don't. I get real complacent sometimes, that's honest. I try to. I try to keep that conscious contact. We're all important. The newcomer is important at every meeting because we want them to come back. They need to hear that we want them to come back. I try to do that. You know, there's more to just taking a person to a detox and dropping them off. Go see them. You know, it's like, oh, phew, we got them there. They'll be okay now. No, they're not going to be okay. You can, I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of people in this room detox more than once. Most of us were there a million times. I quit a million times. The problem was I didn't know how to stay. Stop. But these rooms taught me how to stay stopped a day at a time. In 19... I guess I had about 8 years clean. Can't remember what year that was, but... I did what they told me not to do. I went out there and started doing the same people, places, and things. Going into the bars, hanging out, shooting pool, running football sheets, running my game again, because I was tired of working. I ended up sitting on the middle of a bed with a shotgun in my head, clean. I believed that that night, I didn't see a flash of light or anything, but I'll tell you, I had a spiritual experience that night.
because I called another addict. And I'm sitting there in all this self-pity, self-righteous bullshit. And I get on the phone with this other person, and I'm whining and pissing and moaning and carrying on. And I said, how are you doing? And she said, my daughter just died. How menial my bullshit was. And I can honestly tell you that I've never been in that much self-pity again. Because what I did at that point in time is I made some real big decisions. I sold everything I owned and I moved back to New York, where I belonged. And I went to meetings and I stopped hanging out with those people, places, and things again. And I got involved again. That's why I'm standing here. Great things have happened to me in my recovery. You know, I had to laugh last night when Bill was talking. He was talking about being married 8 times, you know. I'm thinking, you know, the 2 speakers that you had up here last night and today, you know, we've been married 14 times in our combined 37 years of recovery. That's 2.9 years one of us was getting married. But you know what? I don't have to get loaded over men anymore. If you have a relationship that doesn't work, you don't have to use, okay? And you're all going to have one. You're all going to come in here and they tell you to wait a year. You might make it a couple of months. But you know, you don't have to get loaded. That's the whole thing. I mean, I think it's so stupid to get loaded over a relationship. It's just insane. If you follow that suggestion, you might have an easier time, probably some less pain. But we're kind of pain junkies too, you know. And we have a tendency to think, but I'm different. I can handle it. I'm working a good program. Who do you think you're going to get mixed up with? Somebody sane? I don't think so. Maybe. But I doubt it. And I know what I'm talking about in this, folks. I'm the one your sponsor told you to stay away from. For many years. A lot more years than I would care to admit to. I've made some great men in this fellowship. And by that I mean, you know, there's a price to pay. You know, you may not get loaded. Both of you may not get loaded. But what happens with a newcomer? You pick somebody up that's got a couple of weeks. You think, I'm going to mold this motherfucker. I'm going to make them what I want them. And you profess all this spirituality, and you profess all this knowledge of steps, and they're kind of mesmerized at that point. And you take this poor, sick, suffering addict, and you take them to 9 million meetings, and you get them a position as a chair, maybe a GSR. You know, you have them wave the clean time because you want your boy in there, or your girl. You want to make them feel important. The problem is, they get better. Then in about a year, when they pick up that year medallion and they're feeling real good, they go, listen, I think I need to, like, go out there and be on my own. I need to feel what it's like to enjoy this recovery. And there you sit. You've made this wonderful N.A. whatever. And you're going, what happened? I've done it many times. And I'll learn one of these days, you know. But I'm not an easy subject sometimes. You know, I have to say that, I mean, I have had a couple of good relationships. I had one that lasted 5 years, you know, and it was healthy. And we're best friends today. You know, I have to admit, though, you know, I just went through a rather insane relationship. Except this time I got virtuous at this, you know. And I said to myself, I'm not going to live with anybody anymore. I'm going to marry him. And I meant it, though, you know. I meant it this time. It was like I really wanted it to work. But I should have not. I mean, I'm an addict. And the addict in me comes out a lot sometimes, especially when it comes to relationships. We've known each other a couple of months, met each other on the beach. You know, I mean, it's real romantic on the beach, full moon, palm trees, a little breeze, you know. Anybody could fall in love. And we got married on June 29th. I was divorced on Tuesday. Which is sad. But you know what? The one thing that I can say is we're kind of semi-friends, you know. I didn't stay in it so long as to make myself so sick. Because we made a mistake. We made a mistake. We loved each other, but we didn't like each other, and we didn't give each other enough time to get to know each other. I've been single for 10 years. I probably will be single another 10, you know. I think this one taught me a little less than maybe. But I'm not going to say that for sure, you know. But I don't give up. I know I have a lot to give. I just have to have more patience. And maybe it's time right now for me to spend some time with me. And that's okay, because I'm comfortable with that. Because I know that everything that I go through in this fellowship, I learn from. If I'm able to step back and look at what I've gone through. And be objective, because it's real hard for me to be objective sometimes. Because I can justify, rationalize, just like any other addict. But for today, I try to learn. I try to follow what I think my higher power wants me to do. On my way to work in the morning, I have what I call the prayer strip. There's a certain amount of room, of road going to work, that there isn't anything. And I turn down the radio, and that's when I pray. Because it's just me and my higher power. And I say, please, let me do your will for you today. Let me help my patients. And help me to stay clean. The joys that this program has brought me are immense. The people that have been put in my life are wonderful. I was able to know and to love Jimmy. I'm grateful for that. But I think one of the things that I'm most grateful for in knowing and loving Jimmy is knowing and loving Betty. Betty and I have shared a lot of things. I remember the first time I went to the house and we started talking and holy shit, our stories were a lot alike. And it was like as I talked to her over the years after that, you know, and I called her up, and after Jimmy died, I said, you know, Betty, I want you to be my sponsor. And she said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you are, whether you accept it or not. You know, we've shared a lot of things. And it's been great, you know. And it's like when Jimmy died and I went out there to the funeral, I stayed at the house. And we were talking last night, you know, and somebody reminded me about it. It was like I was laying in the living room, and all of a sudden it felt like he was there. And last night, or yesterday when we were all sitting up here on the panel and Bill was talking and Betty was talking, I felt that feeling. I feel that feeling every now and then. You know, it's almost like, I know people go on, you know, we leave this physical body, but I think we're still real present. I feel it. I feel him. I feel that unconditional love that he was so good at giving. And I don't love Betty because she's Jimmy's wife. I love Betty because Betty's another addict that I love. And that's what it's about. It's not about who we are or what we are. It's about what we got. What we're willing to give. And what we're willing to take. I had to learn to take and receive as well as give. I was good at giving. But to receive was just too much. Today I can do both. And I'm grateful for that. Probably one of the most spiritual experiences I had was 2 years ago in June. I stood in the delivery room with my daughter and my son-in-law and held my granddaughter when she was 4 minutes old. And there's no way that if it hadn't been for this fellowship, I would have ever seen that happen. Never. And I can't tell you what it felt like. Or what it felt like for my granddaughter to give me my 13-year medallion. Or for my daughter to have given me every medallion as the years have gone by. Because not only did I grow up in this fellowship, so did she. When I see kids running around, sometimes they fucking drive me crazy. But you know what? You know what? It's okay. Because they hear something. It becomes part of their life, just like it becomes part of our life. And then it becomes our life. My daughter chose to go out and use when she was 13. And I had quite a bit of time in the program. And it blew my mind. But you know what? She didn't stay out there long. About a year. And finally she said to me one day, one of the reasons was, couldn't do it. Every time she got high, she ran into somebody from the fellowship because she knew everybody. She still goes to meetings. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I was able to see her grow up. I'm going to go see her in 2 weeks. That's wonderful. But that's only because I stay clean and I work and I have a job and I make money. Not a lot of money, but I make money. If there's one thing this fellowship has given me, it's freedom. It's freedom to do what I want to do, to be who I want to be, and to love me. And that's the biggest gift. It gave me a higher power that's there when nothing else is. And it gave me you. It gave me all the people that have made an imprint on my life this weekend. And I won't forget you. I may forget your name because I'm terrible at names, but I won't forget you. Because we shared something. We shared a time. We're sharing a time in history. You all can be history. Stay clean.
I don't know. If you got anything out of what I said. But if I don't get anything else across to you, I hope you felt the feeling that I have for this fellowship. I don't need another one. I don't need anything else. I need to work my program. But most of all, I need all of you. I'm real grateful to have been able to be here this weekend, to be able to spend time with Betty and Bill. And, you know, I haven't even really got into any major controversy this weekend. I'm getting better. I will get into controversy sometimes. But you know what? I just don't want to see anything happen. That could even possibly threaten this fellowship. And I will fight to the bitter end to try to keep that from happening. If we remember that whatever we do is in loving service, and remember that our primary purpose is to help that sick, suffering addict make it to these rooms, and to help these people in here. You know, old-timers need help, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm sitting in, I have people say things to me like, you shouldn't feel that way with that much time. Fuck you. I probably feel it more than you do with your 6 months of spiritual giantness. But I keep coming back. But we're going through a period of history in our fellowship that's real important. It's like every period of history before has been real important. But it's like, okay, you know, as messed up as things get, we have a vehicle for everything. And yeah, maybe some things aren't working right here and some things aren't working right here, but it takes time. Just like it takes the addict time to recover. We've grown so fast in the last 10, 15 years that of course we're going to have some growing pains. But let's try to keep it going with a little sanity. If we don't get a book about the history in 6 months, we'll all live through it. Let's do what we set out to do and do it patiently. Because then maybe we won't have to revise it 612 times. I could go on and on and on and on, but I'm not going to, you know. I always come down and I always think of all these wonderful things to say after I get done, you know. And I'm always pissed off because I forget to mention this or that or something else. But you know what? Before I get up here, I always say, God, let me say whatever it is I'm supposed to say. I can tell you today I have no fear. Like I used to. I have healthy fear. I have fear of picking up because I know that I don't care how much time I got, I'm 1 6 or a drink away from being loved just like anybody else. I don't forget that. I go to meetings on a regular basis. You know what? I don't have a lot, but I don't want to lose it. And the most that I don't want to lose is I don't want to lose this in here. I don't want to lose what took me 15 years to put together. As crazy as it might be, it's pretty good today. I can function. I have have a beautiful apartment on the beach in Florida. That's a dream. I mean, it's not the Ritz, but it's clean, and it's, well, it's not clean even. I just moved in Wednesday. I mean, I got divorced on Tuesday, moved on Wednesday, and came here on Thursday. So, but you know what? I knew you'd all help me through that. And he did. It doesn't matter what we go through. Just stick together. When somebody says they're hurting, take a minute. And don't walk around saying you're fine all the time. Because fine stands for fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. People used to say to me, how are you? I'd say, I'm fine. I was anything but fine. Well, actually, I was fine. That's exactly what I was. Today, well, actually, they learned not to ask me how I was. Because I would definitely tell you how I was. If it took me 2 hours, I would tell you how I was. I think of my life in recovery. I think of my life out there. I think of the freedom that this program gave me. And I'll always think of you. Thank you.
Alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. Years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay. I believe we've spoken to the motel and they were talking about a late checkout, and they said, please check out by noon if you can. So we could take a few minute break, or do you want to go ahead and get your meeting? Okay. Roxanne has an announcement to make.
If anyone in here would like to be a part of the history project, there's a mailing list and merchandising. Be sure you sign your name and address before you leave. Elaine from Boston needs a ride as far north as possible, like north to Boston. If anybody's going in that direction, as far as she can go, she can take a bus from there, but she was on a bus for 2.5 days to get here. So if anybody can help her try to get back, see her. She stand up, Elaine, so they can see her. This lady right here. Thank y'all.
Okay, Grover, let's come up.
Real brief, I know we got to get out of here. We've been working this morning and all weekend. We now have a Montgomery draft. There are around 50 copies on the back by the sign-in sheet. If you're going to have to leave and you can't come back on the where do we go from here meeting, pick one up, carry it back, and talk about it. You are the message. Carry the message back to your area, your group, your local fellowship, and if you want to get involved, carry the fire so people see and feel it. We've got some definite priorities, agendas set up, some assignments. If you want to go back and go to work, we have things for you to do. Come back to the meeting. We've got this room till 2 o'clock. We've got 3:20 till tomorrow. When we get run out of here, we'll go down there and congregate. Okay? We'll get these projects assigned. We have people from Florida that's willing to translate in Spanish already. And we need to see, yeah. Correct. Right.
We don't have any copyright.
No, no copyrights on it. We need to see Father Dan. Bill, Beck, Betty, and Cindy in 3:20 directly after this meeting if possible. Carl and Billy and I need to talk to you. So if y'all could, as quick as you can, make it down there, then we'll get back up here and have our meeting. Thanks.
Okay. I hate to close this thing out, man. This has been really neat for me. I hope everybody got what they came for and hopefully a little more than what you expected. Let's give it a hand. This is good. This is what recovery is all about to me. You know, I can't think of going back out to the way it was after being a part of things like this, you know. Could we make the circle? And we'll close it out.
Thank you. Okay, Father Dan, would you close for me?
God, accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I'm going to go to the next one.